Hallelujah. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your wonderful love that you came, Jesus, that you lived the life here and you died ultimately to bring us back. Thank you, Jesus, that your death, resurrection, and your consequent rule now to crush all darkness under your feet has changed everything. It is a turning point in history, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus and working with him. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the power that is found in this gospel, that we can arise and shine, that we can awake to life and life in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're reading Matthew 26 from verse 1 to 5. After Jesus had completed his teachings, he said to his disciples, "You know that the feast of the Passover begins in 2 more days. That's when the Son of Man will be betrayed and handed over to be crucified. Meanwhile, the prominent priests and religious leaders of the nation were gathered in the palace of Caiaphas the high priest. That's when they made their decision to secretly have Jesus captured and killed. But they all agreed, 'We can't do this during the Passover celebrations, or we could have a riot on our hands.'"
Yoh, hallelujah. Yeah, we've got Jesus prophesying his crucifixion. And this is the greatest thing that happened for mankind. Jesus said himself in John 12, "Unless he falls into the ground, he remains alone. But if he falls into the ground and dies, he will bear much fruit, because he would live. And then he would bring in a new covenant and come back to the disciples and say, 'All authority has been given to me. If we'll go out and make disciples, and lo, I'll be with you till the end of the age.'" So the beauty, the turning point in history came through the life, the death, the resurrection, and the rule of Jesus has now made it available to all of us. So it's just so beautiful. And Apostle Peter says it this way when he speaks about all the prophecies of old that spoke about salvation. It was pointing to the sufferings of Christ and the consequent glory. And praise God, the sufferings of Christ have come, and we're now in the subsequent glory. The restored glory that we lost in Adam is now restored in Jesus. And it's proclaimed so beautifully in Romans 5. I'll read it here. Romans 5 from 8 to 11. He says, "God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more," the much more gospel, eh? "Shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God, our Father, our family, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." And then right at the end in that there, we can see the much more gospel in both verses 16 and verse 17, but I'll just go to verse 17. "Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? So beauty has come. Goodness has come. The rule and reign of Jesus is here. He's ruling and reigning in righteousness. And Jesus confirms it in this way. In John 5, 24, he says, "Truly, truly." So it's definitely true. "He who believes in me," believes is a doing word, "has passed from death into life and shall not come into," what's it? "Not come into judgment." Yeah. And then we can see it confirmed by Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2. He says, "You all know, you've all heard," and it's we're hearing it all the time, that Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. But then he goes on to point out something different there, and that's where we've got to get to. if you're in that place and that's all you know, you've got problem. Because he goes on to say, but we are not of the night, we are of the day. So therefore, we must put on the armor of God, because God has called us, because we have come out now and we are in the day of salvation. In the day of salvation, I have heard you. Today is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, I'm quoting. And then he says, because wrath is not set out there for you, but salvation. Amen. And you can see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:2-5 and also 8-9. So the conclusion, the day of salvation has come. And now working with the Lord. Amen. Our labor is not in vain. And then I think of Isaiah 50:4. Morning by morning, he wakens our ears to hear. And then right in the end of the chapter, verse 11, he says that those that light their own fire will lie down in torment. So what's the reality? The goodness is here. We draw close on a daily basis. God lights a fire. And so he is building our house. He is bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we are a part of the answer. We are the light. We are the sons of the light. And therefore, we stay bold, we stay excited, and we share this beautiful gospel, bringing life to everyone else. We the lights in the darkness, the rivers in the desert, the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. Why? Because Jesus is our light in the darkness, the river in our desert, and the shadow of a great rock in our land. Amen. Be blessed, because you are blessed, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.